two passages of scripture. Joel, the second chapter. I lose my screens. Joel, the second chapter. In Acts, the second chapter. Joel 2. Pick this up. For the sake of time. I want to pick this up for the sake of time. Verse 25. Joel 2, verse 25. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. Joel, J-O-E-L. I don't know what y'all turning to, but they was in Job, Joel, chapter 2, verse 25, says, I will repay, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. The great locusts and the young locusts. If you have a King James Version, it might say the cankerworm and the palmer worm. It's all the same thing, just different stages of the same thing. It's all the same thing, just different stages of the same thing. It's all the same thing. You've been fighting the same thing. Just different stages of the same thing. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. The great locust, the young locust, the other locust, and the locust swarm. My great army, which I sent among you. Yeah, I sent it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sent it. Yeah. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel and that I am the Lord your God. And that there is no other. Never again will my people be ashamed. And after this, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit. And in those days, I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. I want to take you to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 12. Verse 12 says this, Acts chapter 2. It says, amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Verse 13 says, some of them, however, made fun of them and said, they are drunk. They had too much wine. Verse 14 says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and he addressed the crowd. And he said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. He says, these people, verse 15, are not drunk, as you have said. Yeah, because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, we're under a different influence. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that which the prophet Joel has spoke about. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I want to preach to you from this text, because I believe God is about to give you such a tremendous level of influence that what you do from this point on, somebody is going to say to you, you must be under the influence. Spirit of the living God, you are already in this place. Speak to us now. Give us a right now word, a word that changes our very nature, a word that causes us to conform to the image of your Son, Jesus, a word that transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to receive what you have to say. Anoint every ear. Have your way. Holy Spirit, move as you see fit. Heal, deliver, set free. My request is that no one leaves this place the way they came, but that we're all changed by your power. And we will give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Come on, show them everything God has blessed you with. Gold teeth included. Come on. And say, I'm under the influence. I'm under. Find somebody to your other side and let them know, I'm under the influence. I'm under the influence. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Before I jump into the text, I want you to begin to understand with great clarity what I mean by the word influence. Yeah, what I mean by the word influence. The word influence is much like an ink drop on a piece of paper. It's like an ink drop on a piece of paper that is not inside of a pen. In other words, the pen exploded and the ink cannot be contained, and therefore it bleeds all over the paper. Whenever you have an ink pen, maybe a ballpoint that has exploded in such a fashion, the ink comes out uncontrollably because what was on the inside no longer has a container to hold it for a specific purpose and use. Its specific purpose and use is to spread, but it's to spread evenly by the touch of the hand. But when the pen explodes, what's on the inside of the pen, if it gets on the paper, even if it gets on your hand or on your clothes, it starts to seep into everything. Influence is just like that, something that was contained at one point, but all of a sudden exploded, and what was on the inside of it becomes to become a part of everything else. In other words, it's not there to be a stain, but it's just there because all of a sudden its purpose has elevated in the sense because its capacity has also changed. Now the paper has to hold the ink, and because the paper wasn't built to hold the ink in all of that array and fashion, the paper just has to succumb to the ink itself, and the paper all of a sudden gets inundated with the ink. The word influence, if you will, is not even a business term or leadership term or a success term. And this is typically and usually the realm in which we use the word. The word actually finds its etymology in the 14th century, and it's actually It's a word that has to deal with astrology, if you will, because I can't get the other word out of my mouth. In other words, it's a astrological term. There we go. I did it. Yay. Gold star for Michael. Here we go. It's an astrological term that has to, that actually has to deal with streaming ethereal power. In other words, it is the definition of what happens when a star begins to stream its power in a certain position. In other words, it's what astrologers do when they look up at the stars and try to figure out the times and the seasons. Don't act like you ain't looked up your horoscope no time lately and you don't know what I'm talking about. And the reason why you looked up your horoscope is because the horoscope is basically trying to tell you that the alignment of the stars determines what your destiny is going to be or what it's going to look like based upon the times and the seasons. It tells you what your personality is like. It tells you what's the good match that you're supposed to have. But the problem with that terminology, and the problem with that ideology, is that you're trying to live off of something that can be cajoled, or that can be conniving, or that can be shaped by perspective. In other words, it's a false reality. And the reason it's a false reality, because it's not based in the truth of who you are. In other words, it's basing the truth of who you are and something God already created when he already created you. You don't hear what I'm saying. And so now you have to understand that the word influence is an astrological term. And then so it means, in its original meaning, an ethereal power that's streaming from the stars when in certain positions and acting upon the character or the destiny of men. In other words, it's the emanation that flows out of a thing, like the ink that comes out of a pen. It's the emanation that flows out of a thing, like the light that shines out of a star. In other words, influence is something that is flowing from a source that has something on the inside of it, and now the outside is exposed to what was on the inside. That's the meaning of influence. In other words, when you start having influence, you start affecting stuff on the outside by the power that was on the inside. Go ahead and touch your neighbor and say, God is about to give you some more influence. In other words, to get influence, you have to get in the flow of the reality of who you are and who God created you to be, and you have to accept it. Because you can't accept what you won't allow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if anybody, could speak to this for us, it's Peter, who had a difficulty accepting, Lord have mercy, who God said he was going to be. He was Simon, but the Lord said, you're going to be Peter. And Peter was inside of Simon. And Simon had to burst open so that Peter can come into his purpose. What I'm trying to tell you is that there's a Peter on the inside of you if you can shed your Simon. You don't want the explosion to take place because you want to hold on to your ink. You want to hold on to that essence of you because you think that's what makes you you. And you don't want anybody to really know the struggles and the trials and the difficulties and the hardships. And so you stop being you and you start being somebody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, go, I'm going there with you. You stop being you and you start being somebody else. You don't listen to what I like to call your destiny code that's trying to give you clues, because destiny always leaves clues. And you're trying to be somebody else or live somebody else's life or emanate like somebody else or should I say live vicariously through the life of another, happy that they're blessed over there, but telling yourself that you're not going to be it, you're not going to make it. That's good for them, but that's never going to happen for you because you're not built like that. You don't know those people. You don't have that network. You didn't come from that background. You don't have that pedigree. You don't have these letters after your name. No one knows who you are. You're too old. It's too late to start. You've made too many mistakes, and you've convinced yourself of that reality, and now you're trying to line up your destiny based on a false reality by living a life through somebody else's life. No, I say the devil is a liar. You have a life of your own and a purpose of your own that you have to come to discover. Yeah. Let me hurry up and get to where I need to go. All throughout Israel's history, they had a difficulty with this. And the difficulty that they had with it was that they did not want to be like God wanted them to be. They wanted to be like other nations. God wanted them to be the apple of his eye. He wanted them to be the choice of what he purposed in the earth. He wanted them to be the example of what people can be when they're in covenant relationship with the Lord. But because they did not want to accept that purpose and accept that identity, they allowed themselves to be convinced that they had to be like other kingdoms. So much so that they started praying to God for something that God didn't really want to give them. They started saying, God, give us a king like other nations. And so God acquiesced to their request. That means God can give you something that you prayed for, but that he does not purpose for you. But he, being so loving and giving, will give you, you don't hear what I'm saying, what you want until you discover what you need. No, you don't hear what I'm saying. You don't hear what I'm saying. The Bible doesn't say God will supply all your wants. No, no, no. It says God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You have to get out of the phase of trying to get what you want. Because when you start trying to get what you want, you don't understand what you need. They want it to be like other kingdoms. Give us a king. God gave him a king, and the whole thing got messed up. Mm-hmm. They gave him Saul. Saul jacked it up. Uh-huh. And David comes along and becomes king. Uh-huh. Then Solomon becomes king. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then Solomon's seed becomes king, Rehoboam. And then the kingdom splits. Now it's a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And because they're split, they can't defend themselves properly. Not only are they split in their identity, they're fighting each other. Now they can't come into unison, and they are divided, and the house divided against itself cannot stand. And now they're split up and they're warring against one another, and other nations are coming and warring against them. And then all throughout the Old Testament, you see God coming in and rescuing them from one battle and rescuing them from another battle. And the thing I love about the relief and the thing I love about the rescue is that they always have to go back to the thing that they need, not the thing that they want. Because relief is not automatic. You don't hear what I'm saying. Relief is not automatic. It's not just going to come because you want it. You're going to have to know that you need it. In other words, you're going to have to get to the place where you understand, God, if you don't show up and if you don't do what you promised that you can do, I might not make it. I'm almost there. Don't get it twisted. I'm going somewhere with all this text. And so now we have to understand what the meaning and understanding of that word influence, to get in the flow of power, to get in the flow of power, to get in the flow of power, to get in the flow of power. And it was Israel who couldn't get in the flow of power because they kept not accepting their identity of who God wanted them to be. And so because they kept trying to be like other kingdoms, they could not accept that God had this self-evident destiny that he was trying to unfold for them, but they did not want it. And the reason they did not want it was because they did not see themselves as God saw them. And so they always saw what they were, and then God is telling them who they are, and there was always this chasm or separation between what they were and who God said they were. And because of the distance, they allowed themselves to believe a false reality that what I am now is what I am always going to be. And because they chose to do that, they said, I'm better off served with just trying to be like the Assyrians, or just trying to be like the Persians, or just trying to be like the Babylonians, and we'll do it like they do it. We'll worship like they worship. We'll get down like they get down. So instead of being monotheistic, serving one God, we'll become polytheistic, serving many gods. And when I need God because I need relief, I'll go call to God when I need relief. But when I want to get what I want, I'll serve these other things. I'll serve the other things to get what I want, but when I need relief to get what I need, I'll call upon the Lord. I'll serve many gods, like money, fame, career, status, likes, followers. I'll serve these things to get what I want, but when I need relief, I'll cry out to God to get what I need. And so, all throughout the old covenant, we see the children of Israel back and forth and back and forth between want and need, relief and redemption and restoration and so forth. And here in the picture of it all, listen to me carefully, you see God being angry. And this is the part of God we don't want to talk about at all. But God is angry with them. He's so angry, he says, you know what? I'm going to give you what you want. Here go your kings. Don't go ahead and be like them. And then a season will come. Stay with me, y'all. A season will come where he'll bring relief. Yeah, God. And then you'll get relief from what you wanted. Not relief from a problem, but relief from what you wanted. Because what you wanted caused the problem. Then you'll get relief from what you wanted and just say, God, I don't need that. I just need you. And then you'll get into a season where you need him. And then God will start saying, okay, good, we're back. And you say, yeah, we're back. And then he'll say, okay, good, this is who you are. And you'll say, hold on for a second. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. You don't even know it. God will come to you and says, are we good now? We good? We're back in fellowship? We good? Okay, great. This is who you are. You'll say, no. I can't be that right now. I can't be Peter because I'm still a little Simon-y. And I can't be a rock because I'm flaky and I'm sometimey. And you're calling me stable, but I'm not stable. Why are you calling me stable when I'm unstable? Because God will only call you what he created. He will not call you what you look like. He will call you who you are. Oh, I'm getting somewhere with somebody. Slap your neighbor high five and say, this ain't all of me, baby. There's something on the inside of me that God is calling out that's about to give me power to be in the flow. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. All throughout Israel's history, I'm going to skip this part because I want to get y'all to where we need to go. All throughout Israel's history, we see this battle raging and going on. God saying to the apple of my eye, I want you to be my chosen people, a royal nation, and so forth. And so God is now jealous and he's mad. And this is where we come to in Joel 2. And in that context, he's demanding an exclusive relationship with his people. He doesn't want anything in between you and him. He doesn't want your false reality to get in the way of his real relationship. He does not want anything between you and him. And so he's always calling you back to him to be in this walk with him and this relationship with him, regardless of how you feel about yourself and regardless of how you feel about him. You don't hear what I'm, yo God, you don't hear what I'm saying. And so he's jealous. He's a jealous God, and he's upset about it, and he's looking for this undivided allegiance. And he's trying to get it from us, and he's been doing it from the time of creation. And so he always wanted this humanity to rely on him, to be in relationship with him. And it's almost like Israel keeps committing spiritual adultery. They just keep going over. Don't get your face all twisted up. They're loving of the gods, and they're loving other ways. After God time and time again delivered them and set them free and loved them and kept his promises, but they just keep going back to the stuff they want. And when they keep going back to the stuff they want, they're losing their influence. Because influence is the power that emanates from the inside that affects the outside. That means when you have influence, oh God, Lord have mercy. When you have influence, people are supposed to go, what is that? Half of y'all missed it. When you have influence, people do not like the influence. Because influence is a striking distinction between two things. No. It is a collision, my God, of contrariness, where you look at something and go, something's affecting that. We've all experienced seeing people under the influence. When you go, oh, you half out your mind. Some of us has had those experiences personally. Oh, I know you ain't gonna sit up in here and act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Like you ain't never been under the influence. You drank something or you smoked something that went into your system and changed the way that you started to behave, and it changed your nature. You couldn't walk right. You couldn't talk right. Y'all not in here with me. Your speech was slurred. You was like, I can't get help from nobody. You loved everybody. Nobody was your enemy. I'm preaching and y'all not helping me. You were trying to hug everybody. You were trying to kiss everybody. You were trying to talk to everybody because you were under the influence. And people looked at you and said, oh, they drunk. They high. And they excused your behavior. I'm preaching. Y'all know. You see where I'm going? You see where I'm going? Because you were under the influence, they just let you have a good time. And I said, oh, they having a good time. I was in New Orleans, my wife and I. We were in New Orleans, and we love music. And there's a certain band down there we love to listen to. And we have a life. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. and a certain band we like to listen to. So we down there listening to them, and they're playing, and they're happy to see us. We're happy to see them. We're having a good time. We're sitting there right in the corner, minding our business, you know, just being Michael and Anita, you know. And we're having a good time. We're celebrating. Then this Asian brother comes over. I mean, this dude, when I say he was gone, I mean gone, gone. I don't even know how he was standing. His legs was just, I mean, they were just like, just going like this. And he was coming over there to us like that. And I'm like, my guy, you know, and I'm trying to get him up off of us, and he's dancing and having a good time. And he's doing it right in front of us. And so the security guy comes over. He said, move him out the way. I said, no, just leave him be. He getting it. He feeling it. I said, I'm going to back up and let him do his thing. Cause either one or two things going to happen. Either he's going to dance right out the place, or he gonna pass out. That's the only other two things that could take place. And sure enough, he just passed right out. He just passed right out in front of us. And we just sitting there fanning him like he in church. Like, my guy laid there to the end of the set. And then we got him up and got his friends. And his friends was tore up from the floor up. And we got him up. And we said, y'all, can y'all walk this dude home? They said, yeah. The dude opened his eyes and he looked over at me. And he says, I'm having a good time. It's amazing what you can do when you're under... oh, God, the influence. His influence came from something that was intoxicating. He took it in, but it was toxic. The reason it was toxic was because it changed his behavior, watch me now, by making him come out of his mind. You don't hear what I'm saying. Not out of his brain, but out of his mind. And so he was unconscious to his behavior. It also came in so fierce and so fast that as it entered into his bloodstream, it's now going to be toxic to his bloodstream, and his body is going to have to try to get it out because it's not supposed to be in. But there's a different influence that you can have that'll give you the same power to live unconsciously without being toxic, called the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, here we go, somebody. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I got a different influence, baby. It's called the power of the Holy Spirit. And when it comes upon me, I can live unconsciously. And I can walk through stuff I couldn't walk through. And no, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't. All right, I'm almost there. So watch this. Let me hurry up. Watch this now. And so the Holy Spirit then becomes a promise that God gives his children to say to you, I'm going to deal with this identity issue once and for all. You don't see who you are, and you won't embrace it, and you won't accept it because you think there's such a distance between who you are and what you look like. So I'm going to promise you something. And in Joel, the second chapter, the Lord describes this promise through the prophetic of Joel. And the prophetic utterance of Joel comes along to tell Israel that, listen, God is going to do something that is so transformative. It's going to raise your capacity to have influence because he's going to give you something you're not supposed to have in a season that's not supposed to be. I'm going to say it again. again. He's going to give you something that you're not supposed to have in a season that's not supposed to be. He says to them, because they were agricultural people, the reason why you guys keep trying to act like other people and other nations is because they serve many gods. And the Canaanites serve the gods of agriculture, the god of rain, and you don't hear what I'm saying, and the sun god. And they serve all these deities because their economic system was based on their agriculture. So they would pray to these many gods to say, we need you to send the rain so that we can produce a crop. And so Israel looked at the other nations, y'all not in here with me, saying that as they prayed for the other rain and prayed for these things, and they said, we want to be like them. So they started praying to those gods. The Canaanite god, Baal. Lord, have mercy. God, I got to hurry up here. And so as they started to do all of this, God comes along and says, no problem. Here's what I'm going to do for you. I am going to send rain, Lord have mercy, in such a way, Lord have mercy, that you cannot ascribe it to anything else but to me. And so he says, here's what I'm going to do. Since your entire agricultural season and calendar is dependent on the rain in its season. He says, because for the crop to recycle or for you to have bounty or for you to live, in other words, for you to have a life, for you to have influence, you got to have this rain. And so God says to them, listen, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm not just going to send rain. I'm going to send rain in a season that's not supposed to be. I'm going to send the former rain and I'm going to send the latter rain all at one time. I know you want me to send the spring rain because it's time for you to sow, but I am going to send not just the spring rain. I'm also going to send the latter rain because the latter rain comes when it's time for you to reap and re-sow. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to flood you with an abundance of rain so that it all comes in one season. And when it comes in one season, it's going to restore years. I want to see how many people I actually lost in the room. Slap your neighbor high five and say, God is about to do something. Come on here. That restores years. Y'all not in here. Y'all not in here. Y'all. Oh God, you don't hear what I'm saying. Watch this. So he says, I'm going to do something that's going to restore years. Somebody say years. Stay with me. I promise you, I'm going to get you somewhere. He says, so I'm going to do something that restores years. He says, so I'm going to send rain right now in a dry season. The dry season ran from April to September. And then I'm going to send rain in the rainy season, the rain that comes from the rainy season. And the rain that comes from the rainy season goes from September to October. And so the dry season is from April to September. The dry season is from April to September. And the rainy season is just 2 months, September to October. But God says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to combine the rainy season with the rain that comes in a dry season. So it's not going to come in a sprinkle in a dry season. And you don't have to wait that long for the rainy season. I'm going to send it now. And when I send it now, your whole economy is going to change. You don't hear what I'm saying. So God told him, listen, the reason why you're suffering and the reason why things are dried up and the reason why it looks like it looks is because you won't accept your identity. And as long as you won't accept your identity, I can't release to you everything I have for you because you'll keep pushing it back and you won't accept all the resources I have for you based on who you are. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. But if you would accept who you are, I can send the rain. So he tells them his strategy. He says, I will repay. The word repay doesn't mean I'm going to pay you back. Help me, Holy Ghost. It's not simply that God is going to pay you back because he did something wrong to you. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that he's going to repay you for what they did. That's not what it means. It's not this revenge thing. It's not this thing where, look, I told you God was going to do this for me. He says, I will repay. In other words, he says, I have been holding in store everything that I have for you. And when I send it to you, Lord have mercy, I'm sending it all at once. The moment you decide that you are who I said you are, I'll send it to you. All at once. I lost half of you. I lost half of you. You're looking at me like I got five heads. Watch this. He says, I'll send it to you all at once the moment you decide you are who I said you are. And then he says, I will, watch me now, restore years once you sin. And the years that I will restore will be specific. They will be the years that the locusts have eaten. They're not years that you lost. They're years that the locusts have, y'all don't hear what I'm saying, that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the palmer worm. Locusts only eat what's growing on the inside. They do not eat, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They eat the harvest before it can become the harvest. They get down into the roots and they start eating what's about to produce. And God said, I will restore the years that the locusts, God, who am I talking to, have eaten. There are things, I don't have a voice to shout or yell, so you're just gonna have to get it how you get it. There are things that have been eating away at the harvest that God has had in store for you because of internal hindrances. You have yet to accept the fact that God chose you. Look at your neighbor and say, he chose you. Get over it. Get over yourself. Get over how you feel about you. Oh God, I'm preaching to somebody here. He chose you. Oh God, I gotta stay here. I don't have time. I wish I had time, and I don't have time. He chose you. I don't have time. Peter steps into this text in Acts 2. Of all people, Peter gets up after the Holy Ghost comes and fills all the house. I have all this fancy stuff for you. I ain't giving you none of that. Watch this. Because when your destiny is self-evident, oh God, when your destiny is self-evident, you'll start hanging around with other people who are also self-confident. I don't need you to validate me. You don't need me to validate you. We both got our purpose in God, and we're both going somewhere. That's why it was just 120 in the upper room. When your destiny is self-evident, you hang around with people who are self-confident. Because your influence cannot travel in a circle of people that still got questions. When God releases influence to you, you travel with people that got answers, not questions. Oh, somebody shout, I'm about to have some answers, not questions. Oh, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. You can't have influence walking with people who got questions. I don't know. Is it going to happen? Is God going to do it? I don't know. How we do that? How we do that? When God flips your circle, oh, you better hear me by the Spirit of God. When God flips your circle, you're going to be walking with people that got answers. Slap your neighbor high five and say, God's about to flip my circle, baby. Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You're about to walk with people that know their purpose, that know their destiny, that know their calling, that know who they are. You're not going to walk with people that eat away at you from the inside out, draining you of your potential and draining you of your power and draining you of your energy. God's about to flip your circle. You better hear what I'm saying. Peter, of all people, in the upper room with 120 people, more than 120 got the invitation. But only 120 influencers showed up. Because when God is about to give you his influence, when he's about to give you his influence, you don't have time for questions. There's a time and place for questions, but this ain't the time. The hows and the whys and the who me's have got to leave your vocabulary for a season. You got to stop saying to God, who me? And start saying, be it unto me according to thy word. I'm almost there. Peter gets up. After the power of the Holy Ghost falls upon all of them, they start speaking in another tongue. Other nations hear their dialect. It's people from all over the world. I didn't go there in the text, but it's people from all over the world, from every region, there to celebrate the feast. And God gives them their influence in that moment. And Peter gets up after the accusation of people saying that they're intoxicated. Oh, you don't hear me. The enemy will always challenge your identity. Right at the moment where God is about to give you influence, he will challenge your identity to say to you, you don't belong there. Or you just crazy. Or you just drunk. No, you don't hear what I'm saying. He'll always challenge your identity. And that's what's happening. And Peter, of all people, I didn't even get into it because I didn't have time. But Peter, of all people, gets up and says, we ain't drunk. This is that. That the prophet Joel, you don't hear what I'm saying, had talked about. In other words, I'm not intoxicated. I'm under a different level of influence. Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Slap somebody a high five and say, I'm under the influence, baby. Yeah, my character changed and my behavior changed because I'm under the influence. I'm talking different and I'm walking different. I got a different level of authority because I'm under the influence. And he gets up and speaks, and 3,000 people, 3,000 people comes to the Lord that day. Influence. Peter allowed himself to shed his Simon. He accepted what God allowed. You cannot accept what you will not allow. Relief is not automatic. God ain't just going to do it for you. You can't accept what you won't allow. I'm preaching this message from a different place. My time was limited, so I wasn't really able to give you everything. But I'm preaching this message from a place of practice. For years, I wish somebody would hear me. I'm not trying to entertain you, I'm trying to help you. For years, I sat right here, convinced you and me. y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I convinced you and I convinced me. We ain't got to do all that. I don't need Michael Phillips Ministries. I ain't got to do all that. I was stupid. Do you hear what I'm saying? Pastor, how can you say that? I was stupid. I was wrong. I was trying to hold my ink. Holding on to Simon, because Simon is what I know. Why do we hold on to that identity? Why? Rejection. I don't know if I'm do people really see me like that? I'm really called to do that? No, that's for them. Let me go celebrate them. So I stood as a bystander. I cannot talk today, Lord Jesus. I was a bystander in my own destiny. Every door would open up. A door would open for me if I walked to it. It would just open. Don't matter what the door is. I don't hear what I'm saying. If I want to go do something, that door is wide open. I go right up in there. Doors are open for me, and I go in. And I go, I go shut. The devil didn't shut the door. I shut the door. Afraid. Listen to me. Of what I would become. Can I hear me? I was afraid that I would become like them. So I stayed when I should have went. And I didn't want to be counted as a counterfeit. And I let the enemy convince me. You don't hear what I'm saying. I hope you hear my heart. I don't have no issue being transparent with you. I let the enemy convince me that don't nobody need to know your name. And you don't have to just pastor your church and love it. Stay right here. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. If the salt loses its saltiness, if the light gets on the hill and you hide it, what good is it? So the thing that you're trying not to be, you start becoming. It's called the pedagogy of the oppressed. You start learning by your oppressor. And because that's what you learn, that's what you do. Then you become the oppressor. One of the greatest reasons, I'm sorry for the time, and I don't care. I just got to get this out me. One of the greatest indicators for me was last year when I launched out and started MDP Enterprises. and the devil fought me tooth and nail. I started doing things, praise over Baltimore, stuff in the city, education tours. And listen to me. This is how he fights you. Because he knows what I care about more than anything. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. What I care about more than anything is you. No, listen to me. I'm not trying to get your applause. And I'm not trying to get a hype out of you for the preaching. I want you to hear me. I care about this church more than anything. Period. That's my heartbeat. That's why I didn't go all the time. And I break my neck to get back in here to preach to you. Listen to me. I do. I don't need your applause anymore. I used to. I don't no more. I'm free. Come, don't come, stay, don't stay. God bless you. I'm free. Because I want to take the influence God gave me. And I want to touch the world. Touch the world. And I stood there. I'll never forget it. Internationals and Pastors Leaders Conference. My bishop preached a message called The Scarecrow. And he told us, baptize our scarecrow. I'll never forget it because I cried the whole service. I mean, literally, Viola Davis level. Fences straight out there. Just, I thought my seed was good about it. Crying. And that's how the whole service, I cried like that. Because I knew God was changing my influence. Don't sit here and let the enemy convince you that you don't have influence. The disciples turned the world upside down the day they got their influence. You don't hear me. Their entire behavior changed in a moment. Yes. You hear me? Their entire world was different in a moment. And God's about to give you that moment. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Maybe it's nobody. But God is about to give this church that moment. That moment. Why do you think you are here? Why do you think he called you here? Because you're an influencer. The power to change something by a touch. Oh God. By showing up to it. By being involved in it. You can change it. I want everyone standing on their feet all over this church. I'm sorry. I messed this message all up. I did. No, I did. No. I didn't preach anything that I was supposed to preach at all. Watch this. God gave me this message for this church, for this moment. And I do it and I say it with so much love. This church is a church of influence. If you are here, listen to me because I'm speaking prophetically. If you are here and a part of it, God's about to raise your level and your capacity for influence. He gave you that business for influence. He gave you that career for influence. You're going to be influencers. all over. God gave me a promise that what happens here, people will come from all over the world to see what happens here. That season is upon us, whether you see it or not. That season is upon us. And I don't want you to leave this room without understanding the gravity of this moment. They're going to call you drunk. They're going to call you crazy. And you're going to say, no, this is that. This is that. This is that. But the only way you can be an influencer is if you accept your identity. You have to accept who God said you are. And if God said my purpose is to touch the world, then I guess that's who I am. If I'm called to do that, and that's what it is, regardless of how I feel or what I see. Yeah. And God's got to give you that moment. That moment that'll touch and change everything. I want you to grab the hand of the person next to you. I know it's hot. I know you're tired. I know you're ready to go. I know all those things. If you can just step out of your flesh for just a few moments, we'll be done. I know the hour's late. That's because we had church earlier. Because I want to pray for you. And I want to pray over you. I know I'm talking to you, and this is probably why I couldn't preach the message the way I wanted to, and the Lord had his way. The enemy has been fighting you tooth and nail. The fight has not been usual. Oh, God, I'm talking to someone. It's not the usual problem over here, problem over there. It's an internal battle. Of can't get myself together. I start pursuing what God tells me to pursue, and then it slips my mind, and I put it down, and I get distracted, and I start doing something else, and I keep coming back to it, and I keep going through that same cycle. Today that cycle is about to break over your life. God is going to send you an anointing right now in this moment to come into the fullness of who you are, to accept it. That when he gives you vision, when he gives you idea, you won't just put it on the shelf, but you'll see to it. And God will get it done. You're entering into a season of the abundance of rain. I wish I had a church this morning. You're entering into a season of the abundance of rain. Everything's going to be wet. So be careful where you sow seed. Your influence changes today. God is enlarging your capacity, thereby enlarging your territory. Your circle is going to change. So don't be afraid to say bye to folk. And don't be afraid to say hello. New people with answers are coming into your life. Father, I thank you for this transforming, transcendent word to take us to another dimension. our destiny is greater than what we can possibly picture or imagine. We accept it today, God. If growth requires our signature, today we sign on the dotted line. And we seal this covenant with you that we will forever say we are who you say we are. And no devil in hell will be able to stop what you are about to do. For the power that shall emanate from this place shall touch the world in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. I dare you give the Lord a shout of praise all over this church. Hallelujah. Lift those hands and receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Come on, hug two or three people. Thank you for hanging out with me.